You guys remember those Barbie rollerblades that came out in the early?
Yes.
Do you remember they were like lighters?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They would like
scrape
the ground.
Yeah,
they were just like
they had like flint on them.
And they would make sparks.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
So if you wanted to smoke a cigarette as a child, you
you could just be like.
That is actually how I learned how to use a lighter. I realized later when I was like 18 years old and I picked up smoking because in the year, because I'm so silly, it sounds so like old school, but in the year 2001, it
people
was not.
Smoke.
It was people did smoke cigarettes.
Oh, baby, I loved smoking back then.
I loved a cigarette.
You all are giving Mad Men.
When I worked at an ad agency on Madison Avenue, we just ripped butts constantly.
Yeah. When the wife was with the kids in Connecticut.
Yeah. Well,
love to stand on my corner.
Yeah. You've come a long way, baby.
All right. Well, that's a good cold open, huh? Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, end of the year. How are you ringing?
Thank God.
How are you ringing in the new year?
I don't even know. I'm just going to be up here. I'm hoping for some snow. It's like been raining for days. I'm hoping we're going to have some snow. And I'm going to make cookies. That's it. That's all I'm going to do.
Oh, yeah. That sounds great.
But I'm happy about it. I need a break from the world.
That sounds great. I kind of like it when it starts raining out here because that means that I have an excuse to not feel bad about not going outside.
I get that.
Because like it's sunny every single, like most of the year, every single day. It's like you wake up, it's the same day over and over again. It's kind of nice when it's like, go away, go inside.
It was just so nice and cold up here over Thanksgiving and there was snow on the ground. And now it's like I'm glad the power is still on, frankly. We're having such a bad rainstorm.
Oof. All right. Well, today we're going to talk about, we're going to talk Sanity Corner. We got a power panel.
Ooh, that's us.
A power panel. We're also going to share our favorite moments of the year and talk about holiday traditions. So let's get going. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for miraculously resurrecting lost voices. This is my second pod I've recorded today. I was like, she's not going to make it. She's not going to make it through the second recording. And I do sound a little bit like Rachel Ray right now, who always sounds like she just got done screaming at some children. But I'm okay. It came back.
Wow.
Miracles do happen.
It's a Hanukkah miracle.
Well, it's a Hanukkah. Is it Hanukkah now?
No, but it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. Hanukkah's after Christmas this year.
They both start on the 25th.
I love that. Yeah. I love that for us.
Which me too.
I feel like that hasn't happened in my lifetime, but maybe.
But that's so nice.
I'm ready. It's also during Kwanzaa. Not that I celebrate. Nobody celebrates. No offense. It's just not. It's not real.
Yeah. That's what.
It's just not. So.
Someone said that.
Cancel me, man.
Someone said that at my kids' elementary school. They're like, should we also do decorations for Kwanzaa and Hanukkah? And I was like, I thought Kwanzaa was like kind of not real.
Right. It is like an American holiday, literally. So like, you know, are we celebrating America this year? No.
Let's talk about, you know what though? Don't we need more reasons to celebrate this year?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
I'm kind of like, let's draw it out.
Me.
Let's like double up the Kwanzaa.
Yeah, goes through January through Black History Month.
We do Kwanzaa.
And the connective tissue.
And Kwanzaa too. And I will buy whatever traditions I need to, and I will respectfully participate, whatever needs to happen.
I mean, it's unfortunate you have to volunteer. There's really no gifts. It's a lot of like community service.
Okay, I can get down with that as long as there's no televisions in the places where the community service is happening.
Yeah.
Let me introduce the people whose voices you are hearing.
Yeah.
Our first panelist is a comedian and host of That's Messed Up, an SVU podcast, and a weekly advice podcast called Who's the Bitch? You can catch new episodes every Wednesday. Kara Klank, welcome.
Hello, everybody. Who is the bitch? That's what we're going to tell you.
It's me.
It's always me.
Our second panelist is the former and OG host of Crooked's What a Day podcast. She currently hosts her own podcast, Rebel Spirit, which is amazing. And if you haven't listened to it, what is your problem?
Yeah.
Welcome back to Hysteria, Akilah Hughes.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God.
Miss my girlies.
It's so good to see you. I feel like, Kara, I see you like a fair amount.
Yeah, we're in the same birthday party, circuit.
Yeah, yeah. It's a children's birthday party circuit that really...
It's popping off.
It's crazy. But Akilah, I haven't seen you in...
Years.
Literally years.
Your children have, like, teeth now. It's been that long.
Yeah. One has teeth and one is, like, too big for her bassinet.
We love huge baby.
Yeah.
Come on.
She's got meaty thighs. We're going to talk today about what's keeping us sane, because it's been a year.
Yeah.
I want to start with Alyssa. Alyssa, I feel like, is the person who appears the sanest, isn't always actually.
Wait, is this what's keeping me sane, or like my moment of the thing that made me feel the sanest this year?
We're going to do the thing that made you feel the sanest this year. Whatever thing that brought you sanity. I would love to hear.
It was the Olympics.
Ooh,
was it?
Yes.
Wow.
Shut up. Because you want to know why, Akilah? Because it's so good.
It's the best.
Because Paris showed up. Look, we were worried going into the Olympics. We were worried.
Yeah.
They were talking about the poop in the Seine and that, like, people couldn't, that it was not going to be okay for people to swim. And, like, maybe it wasn't actually okay for them to swim in the end. But, like, Paris made all of their monuments twinkle.
Yeah.
America and other places brought their absolute best. So, Akilah, since I don't want to bogart
No,
the
I
Olympics.
Mean, listen, I will come up with more. Go ahead. I watched every event.
So it's like, look, we got Snoop. We got Martha bringing Snoop to equestrian because Snoop was scared of horses.
Yeah.
We got Katie Ledecky becoming the most awarded, medaled, you know, woman ever. Mm-hmm. We got the Turkish pistol sharpshooter looked like he straight up got out of bed, smoked a cig, and just, like, popped some caps.
Yes.
Like, every morning when I woke up, I'm like, oh, what happened on the Olympics? Like, yes. Like it was the thing. Because remember, it started almost, like, exactly a month after the horrific presidential debate between Biden and Trump.
Yeah.
And in that month, I was like, there is nothing that's going to make me feel better. Absolutely nothing. And then the Olympics, the fashion, thank you, LVMH.
Yes.
Never thought I'd say that, but, like, thank you for bringing beautiful fashion to the Paris Olympics. It just felt like Stephen from Worcester, Massachusetts,
yeah,
who inspired all the boys with glasses to go do Olympics.
Oh,
in a world where men are the problem right now, thank you, Stephen, for contributing in a positive way.
Yeah, his little squint when he took his glasses off.
Yeah, suddenly he was just like a mouse in a Disney cartoon. He's like, all right, I'm getting on the floor.
I mean,
he's just feeling his
way. So
to
me, that was my watching Sha'Carri get the flowers she deserved from the previous Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, if there's in a world of trash in 2024, the Olympics was a huge bright spot.
Are you purposely leaving out the Australian breakdancer?
I couldn't remember.
Ray Gunn.
I left her out because I kept wanting to call her kangaroo.
Whoa, that is Australian. That's a slur.
I know. We may have to cut it.
We're going
to
bleep it.
We're going to bleep it
so it's not
Alyssa say.
Listen, you guys, I don't need the koalas coming for me, okay?
Yeah.
They are so beautiful.
And they have gonorrhea. You don't want them coming for you.
We're talking about the
or
koalas.
Or chlamydia. Never mind. They have chlamydia.
Australians or koalas? Or
chlamydia.
Both.
The koalas.
Oh,
the koalas,
koalas
apparently. It's a problem.
I'm sure some Australians people
Sure, I don't want to.
As well.
I bet it's all over.
It's not. It's a common STD. A lot of people have it.
Yeah.
A lot of people have had it. Anyway, that's a good one. Alyssa, no mention of Celine.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Well, I wanted to leave things for Akilah.
That's true. Y'all are out here.
I'm like, Celine, you're number one.
There are some big holes that I left that I knew Akilah would fill.
Thank you so much. I mean, I guess
Do you want to fill the big
I
holes?
I will finish it up for the Olympics unless you also have
no,
Olympics.
No, I did not choose the Olympics, I had a good time on Instagram with the Olympics.
It was the brightest spot. I mean, we have to talk about Ilona Maar, you know?
Yes.
Just iconic.
I'm so glad she's in our lives now.
Yes. Yes. I mean, just a bright light, Flava Flav. Out here sponsoring the water polo team, which is like wild that is a problem. And then also just like all of the relay races, like young ass Noah just like stomping through Paris in the rain, winning medals. All of it. I mean, Snoop and Martha was a high point. Celine.
It was.
I scream cried. I didn't think it would be her, obviously. Also, Lady Gaga for the Open.
Mm-hmm.
And the terrifying, like, punk rock Marie Antoinette off with their heads. Like, and also they're just like laissez-faire attitude about everyone being like, this was the Last Supper. And they're like, it wasn't. We're just fringe. Not everything here means something.
Yeah. Well,
Akilah's pretending to hold a cigarette as she is saying we're just French, which I think is.
How many stereotypes can I get out in one episode?
She's holding a baguette now.
Yeah, it's weird. Her hat is now a beret. What's happening? But I loved it. I also just love the Olympics. And in 2016, when Trump won, I tweeted famously that we weren't going to have the Olympics in 2020. I'm like, the Olympics just don't come to pass under something like this. And we didn't.
And oh my God, you're
and
an
so
oracle.
I would say, I don't think we're having the LA ones. I think y'all can just get over that. Oh, no. Who would want to come here?
Well, anyway. My plan is to rent my house out and get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, if there's going to be a place to come back to. Okay, yeah. The Olympics were great. I remember it just, it was such bad vibes all summer. Mm-hmm. And then there was like a vibe shift right before the Olympics, which I'm going to talk about a little bit. And then, yeah, the Olympics were just like good, pure good vibes.
The refugee team won their first medal ever.
And the South Korean gun lady, forgot her.
Oh, she was like the opposite of the Turkish gun guy.
Yes.
Yeah. She was like Keanu Reeves in whatever that Matrix movie is that he does.
John Wick.
Yeah. Thank you.
Or Neo in the Matrix movie.
Yeah, that's right. Literally.
Either one.
You
both
know,
work.
Just Keanu generally.
Oh, and Simone Biles.
Oh, my God.
And women's gymnastics.
That whole team of girls.
Unreal.
They're so wonderful. Yeah. They're just like little warriors, and like
they are.
Yeah, I love that like American gymnasts are now like just these little explosive.
Yeah,
they're just
and
amazing.
Then them just like trolling that other gymnast that said that they don't work hard enough. I was there for that.
Beautiful.
I liked all of that. Yeah, I like that they've sort of become like it's okay to be like mean.
A little,
like there's this kind of like the Russian diva is such a. like stereotype among the Olympics, and I think it's funny that like American meanness instead of being like, oh, that's okay, they've been like, okay, shut the fuck up.
You know, exactly.
It's great.
Well, and the funniest thing is that they became sassy and a little bit mean when like Bella Caroli died, who was among the meanest.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm glad that they're free to be mean now if he was making them be demure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's mine, and this is like, whatever. The Drake and Kendrick Lamar feud.
Oh, iconic. carried us.
A few of the best, I think the most entertaining and like fun weeks online that in memory.
Unreal.
It was so fun because I've always kind of like not loved Drake. He always seemed a little corny to me, even though he made like fun.
He is corny.
Yeah, like he made like some fun songs, like, I don't know, in 2015 or 2014 or whatever. But like Hotline Bling was fun, whatever. But one time, I don't know if I've ever told this story. One time I was at a restaurant for my old roommate in New York City's birthday called Ernesto's or something on Houston Street. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody is a New York person. It's like an Italian restaurant. And I was sitting there with my roommate, her mom, and like a couple other people. And we're sitting there at the table, and it's like November, and the door opens, and it's really cold. And the bunch of people come in, and they just hold the door open. And I look over, and it's Drake and his like posse, and the roommate's mom is like one of those New York City ladies who's just like been there forever and like does not give a fuck who anybody is.
Yeah.
And she was like, he's being very rude. He's being very rude. And like, she goes up, excuse me, can you please shut the door? And he was like, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, shut the door. And she came back and sat at the table like, And I was like, that was Drake. And she goes, well, he was very rude. he was actually polite ultimately. Anyway, I've never liked Drake. I've always thought Kendrick Lamar was like an amazing, I don't want to be on his bad side.
Yeah.
You know, like, a deviant genius, absolutely, like just the complete Picasso of being mean, an absolute artist, a poet, in a way, sort of like whatever people think Taylor Swift is doing with her like symbols and lyrics, Kendrick Lamar is doing it at like a grad school level, like he's doing it so much better. So between like April 30th and May 3rd, there were like a series of diss tracks being released, and every time. Kendrick would release something, it was just like that Simpsons meme, like, stop, stop, he's already dead.
Yes.
Culminating in Not Like Us, which after that
song
came out,
summer.
Song of the Year, yeah. I would say, which is like one of the most devastating, brilliant, catchy, amazing. I was like, oh, hip hop is back.
Yeah.
It is like good now. And then for the rest of the year, all like a lot of the hip hop that's come out has been like really, really good. Like Tyler, the Creator's album.
Unreal.
I'm like completely floored by it. Dochi's.
Yeah, mixtape.
I'm like obsessed. Oh. I just found out about her and I'm in.
She's everything.
I'm all the way in.
Oh my God.
She's so amazing.
It was like Kendrick did an evil magic spell and he opened up a portal and like all of these really great artists like were able to access like the best part of their creativity and come up with this like really, anyway, music is good now.
It's
like,
so good.
It's really good.
Yeah, someone has like a Macklemore voodoo doll somewhere, I feel like, you know?
Yeah.
He's in pain somewhere in a
right,
corner.
Right, right. I feel like right after that, and I don't know, I can't say Kendrick did all this because he didn't, but I feel like right after that, something like broke open in music and there was just all this great music across all these different genres.
Totally.
Like Chapel,
yeah, yeah, Chapel, Chapel, yeah.
We had like Sabrina Carpenter like doing her little pop music summer stuff. It was all just
Charlie.
Charlie.
Yes.
I'd say Brat Summer.
Brat
it was
summer.
It was such a good year for music. And I really think that like the Drake-Kendrick feud and whatever warlockery that Kendrick Lamar did, like in a way it feels like it started with that.
Yeah.
But that was like for me, that was like my sanity quarter this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
The music was bomb. It was great.
It was so good. So yeah. And also it was just like, I love a bad review. Like, you know, when like the New York Times will publish like a Pete Wells went to a restaurant and hated it, you know, or whatever. I love a bad review. And I feel like just these diss tracks were like the worst reviews of Drake of all time. And it was it was just so funny. And I feel like he pretty much ended Drake's career.
Yeah. And now Drake is suing him for ending his career. He's like, that's not right. You guys are robots. You didn't really hear this song. I'm like, it was playing. If I opened my window in the middle of Los Angeles,
you
would hear every car playing Not Like Us for a week. It was
honestly,
like, here they come.
Yes. Every car, like on the way to work.
Yes.
And it was like across demographics.
Yeah.
It was like.
Everywhere you go, you're like, oh my God, again.
Which it was great. I never got sick of it.
Yeah,
which
no,
is also,
I still could listen to it.
Which
on
is
a
yeah.
Loop.
Oh God. Anyway, this summer will go down as a summer of great music and terrible vibes. so that was my sanity corner for this year. Kara, what was your sanity corner?
This is so. I'm sorry. Are we doing what was keeping me sane throughout the year, or the cultural moment that was keeping me sane that I enjoyed?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, because I have two separate things.
All right.
So I mean, I don't know what
you
to do.
You got the mic. You got the mic.
Okay. Well, I would say mine is so completely different from what you guys are doing, which are like culturally relevant and fulfilling things. And mine is my neighborhood's Buy Nothing group has really been keeping me sane. I am like just constantly trying to get crap out of my house. And you just put stuff on this Buy Nothing group and someone comes within 5 seconds and gets rid of it. And I just feel like I've been purging unnecessary crap from my life all year and the group really helps me. And there's just a lot of funny characters on there. There's a guy that always is jumping on my stuff, half a bag of ice, a half-eaten pie. He's always at my door. I'm obsessed. Like, I think I want to write a show about a Buy Nothing group. I think it's so funny. But so a Buy Nothing group it's on Facebook. I'm young. I'm hip. I'm cool.
That's where all the kids are.
I am the moment. I'm honestly only on Facebook now for like various commerce and trade and bartering. Okay. That's like the only reason I'm on. But the Buy Nothing group, they have to be by neighborhood. I don't know how you do it, but you somehow prove that you're from this neighborhood. And then it's just groups where you can give and you can ask. But you cannot sell anything. It's not trading. It's like you can give something or you can ask for something. And because it's totally free, a lot of the stuff is very low value. And it's just like, I don't know, it makes me feel part of my community and like I'm helping the earth by not throwing things in the garbage and getting rid of, you know, a half-eaten pie.
Yeah.
You know? Have you really done a half-eaten pie?
I gave away my kid's birthday cake because I got this massive, beautiful birthday cake and like we only ate half of it. And I was like, hey, perfectly good birthday cake that we just cut with a knife. We didn't like drool on it. And then like I woke up on Thanksgiving morning. I had 4 loose potatoes and a full pecan pie that I knew was just going to rot in my fridge. And I had like a thing of pomegranate seeds. And I was like, anyone want this stuff? It was gone out of my house before my husband woke up.
Wow.
Like, amazing.
And I just.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I just really, I don't know. I'm all for buy nothing. I feel like it's like everybody is helping each other. It's not even like charity. Like, people of all stripes are in it. Like, yeah. All different. I mean, certainly some of it people are in need. But, like, it's just kind of like, oh, I don't need this anymore. You have it. And it feels like a nut, you know? And yeah, I'm loving it.
There's a lot of stuff in the world. I see so much like stuff. Just so much
and,
crap.
You know, we have kids. They just accumulate so much crap. Like, I get free crap sometimes from work, and like, I just want it all gone. And that's what's been keeping me sane. Is like, I just feel so accomplished after I put something on by nothing, and then it's gone.
Oh yeah,
and someone else gets to enjoy it.
Oh yeah,
it really has been a calming moment for me.
Yeah, that is great.
Also, Facebook is like Craigslist now. Like,
yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg really just came full circle to be like, all right, you guys just gonna get rid of your crap.
Truly, truly.
No one wants to talk
to
each
other, really. No protections, creeps everywhere.
Yeah. Exactly, what they're selling might not be legal.
Yeah, because Marketplace is very scammy. It's a lot of people being like, yeah, let me send you this check. But the buy nothing, the beauty of it is like, these are people that live right near you. This isn't someone that lives across town. It's like people that live in like just your neighborhood.
Like, where's the, there's no, like, kick you can get out of, like, lying about what you're giving away.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
It's like, what is it?
Yeah. Even if you come and get something and it's, like, fully broken, you're like, well, I guess I didn't pay anything for it, you know? Like, whatever.
Oh, man. Mark Zuckerberg starting Craigslist is pretty funny. You know, one thing about Marketplace is I found that people try to sell things for, like, what they paid for them, and it's like,
you
this
can't
is a
do that.
This
nope.
is an IKEA table that you bought right. 6 years ago that has crayon all over it. I'm not paying $60 literally. For this.
And they'll still haggle. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I'm selling a bunch of crap because I'm trying to move. And it's like, I'm like, this is $5. And like, would you take $1.50?
Oh,
like,
the way they haggle.
It's a dining room table.
You're like, 20. They're like, would you do 18? It's like, is that seriously gonna
Yeah, like, are you, is your wife going to like be proud of you for saving $2? Just
I think
pick it
people
up.
Get, I think people get a rush over the deal.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. Even if it's like saving $1, they're like, I'll do 19.
You know, like, there is no art of the deal. There's no art to this. Just take my crap.
The art of the deal is you just be the bigger dick until the other person is annoyed by you and is like, fine.
Yeah, whatever.
I give up. Fucking take it from my house. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the year that was. I used to be in a choir when I was in college, and we did, like, real choir shit. Like, we went on tour in Italy, and we sang for the Pope and stuff.
Whoa.
Fuck.
Hashtag real choir shit.
Yeah.
Not that fake choir
shit. Yeah.
Singing for a regular pastor.
Yeah. You don't even have a robe. Get out of here.
A guy dressed like the Pope.
Santa Claus and shit.
One of the Pope's doubles. I love that. You've got a choir performance from Wisconsin. Get in there.
Oh, it was Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Indiana.
So anyway, we were in Italy, and one of the rules was we weren't supposed to have fucking dairy. Because we were doing...
Yeah. Oh, it gets you messed up.
And, like, the last night of the tour before, like, we had finished our performances, we ate, like, so, like, piles of cheese.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we weren't supposed to eat dairy.
That's
it was
crazy.
Dumb.
I mean, why mucus even, is a real
I understand, like, I understand milk. I kind of understand milk, like, that coats your throat, but, like, cheese...
Yeah, but I feel like if it's not liquid...
Yeah.
Or ice cream,
isn't
it should be fine.
Cheese just rolling. Yeah, ice cream. Yeah,
right?
Like, cheese just rolls just, down
I
there.
I was just snorting lines of Parmesan. Just
damn. All the way out of town to get that hit.
To get my fix.
That's where I lived when I lived in Italy. I was down the block from the Vatican.
Wow. Really?
Just a little Jew living near the Vatican. You know?
Well, it's like a great place to go and be like, wow, this is bullshit. They have this much money and they made this much money.
And I studied abroad in Rome on the Jubilee year, and that's when they really spruce things up because mm-hmm. like nuns and priests are coming from everywhere.
Yep.
Ooh, it was crazy. They got a lot of money.
I say this respectfully to the queer community. not to the Catholic Church, but there's nothing fruitier than the Catholic Church.
They do have great outfits.
Yeah, it's so many robes and sumptuousness and
gold detailing.
The word jubilee.
Oh, yeah. The jubilee, baby.
It's the jubilee. All right, you're listening to Hysteria, the jubilant podcast, celebrating a bad year with trying to find some good things.
What was bad? Oh, wait, yeah, okay.
I got lobotomized today, so I
honestly
don't remember.
I've been drunk since November, so.
Airport rules?
Yeah, really.
Airport rules.
Pizza at 7 a.m. Let's roll.
Pizza, beer.
Full anti-ends. A full anti-ends.
Oh, man. What? Let's talk more about our favorite moments from this year. Like, favorite. Okay, Kara.
Okay. Okay, this is so, everyone's going to be like rolling their eyes or whatever. It's very recent, but I have been living for the Wicked press tour. I've been really liking it. And that fucking finger moment with the holding space really made me laugh so hard. I watched the video so many times. It made me laugh so hard what the lady was saying, how they were reacting, how then after they go, it is, she goes, I've seen a couple of posts. I was like, a couple of posts?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? And then, like, we wait a week. We get two weeks of holding space memes. And then they come out and they go, we did not know what was going on with that. Now they've come out with their reaction of like their actual, like, we did not, what we had, no, we thought we were going crazy. And I love all the memes about like of old, I see old men going downstairs holding brooms on their jazzy, what is that, what's the thing that goes on the stairs, the like the wheelchair that goes downstairs?
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
You know,
and like they're just playing Wicked songs while a guy holds a broom going down one of the I mean, like all of the choreography videos and people redoing things, it's just it's really giving me a lot of joy in this holiday season. And I saw the movie and I really liked it.
I still haven't seen it, and like this moment culturally has forced me to reckon with some of my past, which is that like I used to really love musical theater.
I mean,
like, really love it.
I'm present.
I mean,
I'm presently loving musical theater.
When and Alyssa has the luxury of living near the absolute epicenter of the great musical theater, and it's like a great time for theater right now.
Yeah,
there is so much happening. Previews that start in January for so many shows, like because Broadway was pretty kind of quiet. COVID, out of COVID. Mm-hmm. But musicals are my favorite, but I do love a play that's not too long. And I'm excited to see Keanu Reeves in Waiting for Godot, which is coming out.
Whoa.
And then Kieran Culkin is in Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh, yes.
So is Bill Burr.
I heard about that.
Bill Burr is in Glengarry Glen Ross.
I gotta say.
I heard The Death Becomes Her musical is fabulous. I'd
really
love to see that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And the new Sunset Boulevard, which we've talked about on the show. Yeah. It's supposed to be
really
good.
Also, that lady from GLOW is taking over Cola Scola on
OVA. Oh, yes. Betty Gilpin.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Icon.
At first, I saw that was happening, and I was like, But now I'm like, she must be excellent.
Oh, no, yeah. She's
this
like,
is what's mm-hmm. like, I kind of thought the same thing, but then my husband worked with her once on a movie and is like, he never stops talking about how talented she is.
Really?
He's like, she is so good. She took like a little part that wasn't really anything and turned it into something so good. Like she, so I'm like jazzed to see what she's going to do with it. I mean, I saw it with Cole.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Wow. I'm so jealous.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah. But because it's their part. It's just strange to think of someone taking it. But, you know, they're passing the torch. I love it.
Yeah.
But, yes, I mean, the little finger hold, the people are holding space for the lyrics of Wicked. It's just none of it makes any sense. I just like how – and theater kids, I always roll my eyes at, like, that theater kitty kind of energy. But for some reason – with everything happening, they're just making me happy.
They're making
something.
The way
that they're so earnestly responding to everyone.
Oh, yeah. They put their entire selves into this. Like, they have both gone full Jenna Maroney. They have both, they're completely like, just, but it's just like, yeah, but they made something that a lot of people really like and is making a lot of people happy.
Yeah.
And I think that the director did, from what I've heard, a really good job, like, honoring the source material.
Yeah. Ariana was not going to let him not. She's like a really big theater person.
Yeah.
Like
there
were things where she was like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I have conflicting feelings about Ariana Grande.
Oh, listen, I'm not even a big Ariana stan.
She had an album this year and we didn't mention it.
I know.
That's crazy.
I'm not even a huge Ariana. I'm sort of like, I don't care. But like, I will say I've on record, I don't think that there is a movie musical that I've liked more than the actual theater experience. Mm-hmm. Like, some people say Chicago. I liked seeing Chicago in the theater better. But this movie, like, is pretty close.
Hmm.
It's so, she's really good.
I saw.
And Cynthia's, like,
oh, God. Yeah, I saw her in Color Purple on Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, in her press tour, they were like, so what's the hardest song you've ever had to sing? And they were expecting her to be like, Divine Gravity. Yeah. And she was like, no, I'm here from the Color Purple.
Oh, yeah. That song
is
the
one where I won the Tony.
That song is a banger. I saw the Color Purple in Chicago with Michelle Williams Destiny's Child.
Ooh.
Jeez. Yeah. Chills.
We didn't even talk about Beyonce's album. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll be posting about it in the comments of this episode.
Yeah, but I saw Wicked 4 times. Over the course, it had a very long run.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I'd be like, I had a really bad week. You know what?
It's time for Wicked.
I might as well just go see. You know what? I could go see Wicked. That'll probably make me feel better. Yes. Dancing through life, you know? But yeah, I'm excited. I think I'm going to go see it maybe on Friday, and I might be taking my 3-year-old.
Cute.
Whoa.
That would be a formative experience.
Okay. With another 3-year-old and another 3-year-old's mom.
It's just long is the only reason I'm making a face. There's honestly nothing scary except one moment I think is a little bit scary, but like, that's it.
Okay.
I'll tell you which one it is.
I'll report back.
Yeah. it's not scary for adults. I think it would be scary.
You were scared. Don't
By the way, I closed my eyes, but I was fine.
Alyssa, what do you want to add to our pile of happiness and sanity here?
You guys, I know I'm not a very modern person, but this is like a cute little intersection for me because I am so excited, so excited. I want to see it on Christmas Day. Timothy Chalamet as Bob Dylan.
That'd be cool.
My sister, she listens to this, so she'll tell me if I got her story wrong, but I'm pretty sure she saw Timothée Chalamet in Washington Square Park when she was with my niece because he just spent a lot of time there, like, becoming Bob Dylan. But his press tour—
there. He lives there now.
Well, he was, like, dressed as Bob Dylan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he had, like, an outfit on. He had the hair.
Oh, my God. He was, like, Daniel Day-Lewis-ing Bob Dylan?
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He was like being Bob Dylan. And I just, the reviews have been so, so good. But I just like, I love when people love something so much that they get so into it. And I'm just really excited. And he is modern, right? So I get to not be ashamed because Timothée Chalamet is a modern person. But Bob Dylan is just like, you know, Bob Dylan's the coolest. And so I can't wait to see that. But his press tour has been so cute because he's been doing all this like football stuff.
Yeah.
Did you see this? He was like out at the University of Minnesota and he went and saw the marching band and they played like a Rolling Stone and he was in like a weird little striped polo rugby. And I was like, oh my God, I love everything about this.
But then he like went on with the commentators and knew everything about college football. Did
he
you see that
everything.
Video?
Everything. Yeah. Everything.
That was crazy.
But also the little mustache is a hard no.
Yeah.
And the press tour did remind me that he's still dating Kylie Jenner.
My husband and I had a debate.
Forget.
We had a debate about that appearance.
No, it was confirmed. I know what you're going to say.
We were like, is he acting like a guy who knows about football? Or is he actually a guy who knows about
football? I wouldn't know. I listened to a podcast, Charlotte Wilder, and she had a source who said that he was given all this research. He chose to decline because he does watch Game Day every Saturday.
What?
And he actually was just correct about football. Like, a close source. It was like, he went
on
there.
Oh, my God. I was so worried you were going to tell me he was a fraudster.
No.
And I was like, no, because Timothy and Pauline, I love them both so much. Like, you can't ruin it.
Mm-hmm. No. I don't think he would risk that. People are so vehemently obsessed
with
football.
He's a good actor, but he's not acting in sports movies.
Yeah. Right.
That's a delicate man. Okay?
Like, they would have, like, friend of this pod, Megan Gailey, would have, like, been, like, immediately in her stories, like, this is, he's talking gibberish. This is none of, all of this is fed
totally.
To him. You
right.
know?
Maybe he wants to play, like Vince Lombardi or something.
Keith
or, like,
Olbermann.
Al Davis or something in a movie. I don't know. But, yeah, I've actually been loving his little Chalamet moment. It's been a lot of fun.
His shallow moment.
He's like, you know when a celebrity is just like good at being a celebrity and you're like,
yes,
you're being a good celebrity right now.
He's a benevolent celebrity.
He showed up to the Timothée Chalamet lookalike contest.
Yes.
Perfect example.
In a way, I believe he might be responsible for this outpouring of other lookalike contests though because people are like.
Maybe they'll come.
Yeah.
Like they had the shooter one and he didn't show up. That was organized by the NYPD.
Which.
Which, again, Timothée Chalamet could play in a movie.
Yeah.
100% could play Luigi in a movie. And who knows if he'll have been milkshake ducked by the time this podcast comes out because, anyway. Akilah, do you have another moment you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, I think following in the footsteps of what Alyssa said, if we can look forward to Christmas, on Christmas Day, Beyonce, Giselle Knowles will be doing halftime during the football game. And it is going to probably be the announcement of a tour, an entire new era. We are all just jazzed. I am like counting down to Christmas, not for gifts or family, but because Beyonce is going to be there.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely over the moon.
Wow.
What? I'm sorry. Halftime during what?
It's going to be just like the football game. There's usually one on Christmas and one on New Year's, but
is it like the Bears?
That's the thing. Last year it was the Bengals because they thought they'd be good, and then it was like they weren't again. So who's to say?
Poor Bengals.
Yeah, I don't know. Joe Burrow's too hot for this. He deserves better.
It's the Texans. It's the Texans playing the Ravens.
Yeah, and she's from Texas. So there you go.
The amount of research I will have to do to just even know when this is happening, what
I'm
channel,
sending it to you right now, Kara.
I'm sending it to you right now. But I would watch for Beyonce.
I mean, listen, it's basically going to be better than the Super Bowl. Who's doing the Super Bowl? Kendrick.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. He'll probably bring out Beyonce. I would put money.
I have a coworker who is expecting a baby, and I was talking to her about, like, hey, are you looking forward to it? And she's due in February. And she was like, you know what? I just hope this baby doesn't come out until – I was really hoping to watch the Kendrick halftime show. Like, she really wants the baby to stay in or be out. She does not want to be in the hospital doing labor during the Kendrick.
Just being like, turn it up.
Yeah. And then she was like, and I also was really hoping to catch the Grammys, so I hope the baby doesn't come on this day too. It was pretty funny.
Babies will ruin your plans. You might as well get used to it now.
I know. Yeah. Speaking of babies ruining plans, you know what? my moment this year, I had a baby in June, and I gotta say, the first time I gave birth was rough. It was rough. I thought I'd be a hero and do it without, like, pain meds and stuff. And this time I went in, like, the second time going into, like, a Sweet Green where you're like, I know how to order here. Like, I went into the hospital being like, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And everything went, like, very smoothly, and it was actually, like, a really good – it was, like, a nice experience. And that was kind of, like, a highlight of my year. It was, going and being like, all right, I've closed all the loops. Everything that was, like, traumatic and awful about the first birth was actually, like, really nice, and I figured it out in the second one, and now I feel like I could close that chapter of my life and not think about having babies anymore and think about, like, you know, I started taking Krav Maga.
Yes.
I'm not even joking. I've started taking
it. Let's do it.
That rules.
Yeah, there's, like, a bunch of moms in the classes that I go to. I think a lot of people, the election happened, and they're like,
I want to learn how to hit.
I want to Yeah, it's like half people that you're like, you are an MMA fighter, and half people that are like, you drive a CRV. Yeah. You know, it's pretty crazy. So that's been like a personal.
You can kind of see why people like used to have like 5, 6, 7, 8 kids, because it does just get like the actual birth process gets easier. Mm-hmm. Having them is still most people are not doing that anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, you know, I had a similar experience.
Yeah,
one was crazy, and two was like, oh, this is
is great.
Yeah,
and then I brought her home from the hospital, and she just like smiles and is like really cute.
I didn't have that experience. Just the actual birth easier.
Yeah,
I think people had 10 kids because a lot of them didn't make it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that, too.
Like, back then, they were like, if we get one of these to maturity, that would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, this one drowned, that one got cholera.
Yeah. It's like getting a hermit crab. Like, you can't just get one hermit crab because it's going to die.
Right.
But, like, if you get 4 hermit crabs.
And one makes it.
Looks then like someone carries on the family name.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Sure, sure.
That's a hermit crab Ryan. So that was like kind of nice. And I also think, you know, this isn't just like a general thing, but just I focused more on like the people around me and like, you know, like Kara lives in my neighborhood and like we would sometimes go on walks and like, you know, just getting more, I guess, entrenched and in touch with, like,
you
a group of friends.
Get in a buy-nothing group, I'm just saying.
I know. I can't wait to get... Well, then I also have a couple friends that are expecting and boxing up baby clothes for them and, like bespoke collections of hand-me-downs where I'm like, oh, I remember this little pajama and whatever, and sending it off is a really nice thing. But another moment that like everyone experienced that really
I'm thinking of one, but I'm hoping that's not what you're gonna say. I think we're all, Alyssa's right here with me. We're looking through the
monitor. I know
monitor
what you're talking about.
That was a pretty good day. Wait, that was a pretty good day.
Where is it?
It was a pretty good day.
I think
of the best day of the year. There was like 20 minutes where we were all hype.
Was
the assassination.
Okay, come on, man.
Didn't you see me? I was like,
I didn't know what you were doing. I was like, earphones?
Oh. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Damn,
no,
y'all are killing me with the charades. She's spelling it out.
It was like a week later. It was a moment at the DNC when we all had a moment. We all believed, and I think we could probably edit this in, but it was when Georgia was called during the roll call of states, and suddenly it was Lil Jon going,
Georgia, how do you cast your votes?
Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, we are here tonight to officially nominate Kamala Harris for president. Five, get loud, another round of shots. DNC, turn out for what?
That moment was like the maybe peak of the year besides having a child for me. pure happiness. Everyone was so excited. People were like, I think we're going to win this, guys. We can do it. It was amazing. Turned down for what by Lil Jon at the DNC. It was a great, great moment. Damn. Anyway, what happened after that?
I don't know. We got sucked into a black hole. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oof.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about holiday traditions. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that is going to have to trust you that ham pinwheels are good. all right. So before we get to that, we're going to do some announcements for the class. Alyssa, do you need a break from your in-laws?
Who, me?
Does anybody? Cozy up to the world of Crooked's critically acclaimed limited series this holiday season. Named one of Time Magazine's Vulture and New York Times' top podcast of 2024, Empire City, The Untold Story of the NYPD, takes you through the hidden history of how America's largest police force was shaped by corruption, exploitation, and resistance.
Check out Killing Justice to unravel the mysterious death of a judge in India that captivated a country increasingly polarized by politics. And don't miss Dissident at the Doorstep, the unbelievable true story of a Chinese civil rights activist turned MAGA Trump supporter. Binge these stories and more at crooked.com/limiteds or find them wherever you get your podcasts. No matter what you celebrate, the holiday season is the perfect time for traditions to form. And it seems like every family has its own spin.
Alyssa?
Yeah.
What's your holiday tradition, your family holiday tradition?
Well, guys, I'm just going to say we get super ethnic at the holidays. We become extremely German and extremely Italian. We will not be we will be eating. But our big tradition is that we ever since I was born, we get in the car around 7:30 and go look at Christmas lights. Like, we just drive around town. And by the time we got home, Santa, somehow, of all the places that he has to go, has come to our house between 7:30 and 8:30 and dropped off the presents. Aww. And no one's ever thought it was weird.
Yeah, that's just on the schedule.
That's on Christmas
Eve. That's what we do.
It's on Christmas Eve. We do. That's how we're very German, because we do it on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to start early.
You're German because he's on time. Because if he were late, that would be Italian.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. But no, and we just eat, you know, we eat like very Germany things around Christmas. There are Stollens and strudels and et cetera, et cetera.
Ugh, Alyssa.
But no, I actually had to like call my sister on this one. I was like, what do we do that's like a little weird? She's like, are you serious? And I was like, what? She goes, you don't think it's weird that Santa always came at 7:30? And I was like, oh, all right. I guess that's a little weird.
I feel like Germany is kind of the epicenter of, like, the cozy Christmas vibe.
It is.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of wooden angels from the Black Forest on my Christmas tree.
Aww.
Yeah.
I'll send you pictures, Akilah.
Do it.
No.
Okay. None of them are haunted.
No.
That's great. That's great. No. Well, we get super ethnic over Christmas, too. And it's not.
Same.
Not in a cool way, because, like, my family is, like, Scandinavian. We've got a lot of Scandinavians. Scandinavians are really good at, like, baked goods, like, really
yes.
good at baked goods. Not good at, like, there's a lot of fish. There's a lot of pickling.
Like there beets.
It's not beets. It's, like, herring. We would always have, like, pickled herring. And my dad and his brothers would, like, they were in, like, a perpetual, like, gross-out contest with each other to see who could, like, eat the weirdest thing.
Ugh.
Anyway, pickled herring. My mom would make lutefisk, which if you don't eat it. It shouldn't be eaten. It is like a flaky, lye-soaked cod that is baked to the point that it's almost like a gelatin. It's horrible.
What's going on?
It is like even a good version of my mom's version of it is like the best it could be. But like, why?
Yeah.
Why though?
Because it's a thing
you just
that they
do it.
It's a thing that they do.
And do other people like it?
No, nobody likes it.
Why do you guys?
Stoicism.
It ends with us.
Stop.
Break the cycle of violence.
Yeah, this is the generational curse that we are breaking.
Honestly.
Leave the gelatin fish behind.
It's like, if grandma loves it, it's like, well, we got to do it for her. But if nobody likes it,
yeah.
End it.
I think it just was sort of a flex for my mom to be like, I can make this. And it's like,
yeah.
Good job. Just because you can.
Congrats.
Doesn't mean you should. So yeah, those are our traditions. I'm kind of bummed we're not going to go see my family this holiday because it's just like two tiny kids.
Mm.
Like I priced out airline tickets and I was like $5,000 for the worst travel experience possible.
No,
no, thank you. Yeah. Not going to do it. So, we're going to try to make our own, holiday traditions here. We drive and look at holiday lights and then we stop at
yes.
this Detroit style pizza place in Thousand Oaks. It's really good, and it is open on Christmas Eve. And we have for the last like 4 years gotten that we've been in town. We've gotten like Detroit style pizza.
I love
Christmas
Detroit. Style.
Sounds delicious. Yeah.
You all
so
been to
good.
That place quarters?
Yeah.
Oh no, I haven't. It's on my list.
Bomb.
Someone told me
delicious.
It's so good.
It's really, really good.
Oh, it's on my note I keep in my phone of places.
I know we all have that, huh?
Oh my, mine is. By neighborhood.
Okay. Nice. Kara, what are your traditions?
Ooh, I do every other year going home to the East Coast to see my family. So this is an LA year where we're staying and I am pumped.
Mm-hmm.
I love it here at the holidays. Nobody is here. It's like, we'll be here. We
yes.
should hang. I mean, we're just like, it's like no traffic, but there's still stuff to do. I just don't have that many good traditions, but I will say traditionally in the last few years, a humongous expenditure on my house has come to me right at the holidays.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's non-traditional. Like right now, as we speak, there are men under my house working on our foundation, and that's just costing me a ton of money I don't have. And it's just a nice way to celebrate the holidays,
yeah.
you know, just,
yeah.
and it comes as a surprise. You don't know.
7:30
and,
on
yeah,
Christmas Eve.
Like my plumbing imploded a couple Thanksgivings ago. So it's just fun, you know, to have just like a massive house expenditure. But we're taking our kids to lights. Wait, I had something in my mind and then it left because now I'm just thinking about Detroit style pizza and how hungry I am for that. But yeah, like we're gonna, I like to go to a movie on Christmas Day. That's not weird. Everybody does that. I don't have anything weird. Besides,
let's do something weird this year.
Yeah.
We're going to be here on Christmas Day. Let's do something weird, Kara.
Something weird.
Okay.
Let's light off fireworks. My kids would love that.
Oh, my God. My neighbors would be like,
yeah,
that's fine.
The neighborhood will not blink. Trust me.
No.
Yeah.
No,
the Dodgers won.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's this is fireworks country, and it's also fire country, which is a bad combination. Okay, Akilah, what are your family traditions?
I mean, okay, so I think that Alyssa and I are very Christmas coded.
We have the same Christmas lights.
Yeah, we do.
You are a literal Disney princess at one point, so that is also
it's
Christmas
exploding
coded.
Out of me.
Yeah. Wait, what, so, are you, what does that mean?
She was a Disney princess.
It was a whole episode. We're going to have to run it back. This is going to be one of the reruns in the timeline.
I love it. Okay.
It's just for you. But it was an era in my life. I mean, growing up, I grew up in mall culture, and so we would always go to the mall because they'd have like Christmas displays. We weren't big on meeting Santa. I would cry. But if you go to the food court, everyone had free samples. So we would just stay and like just do laps of the food court. We're like, okay, we have our favorites, and we just keep coming back.
It's like Taste of Chicago.
But one mall food court. I'm like, Sabaro, do you guys have like a pepperoni?
Oh my God. Dude, the mall food malls are my favorite. I love, and especially at the holidays. I just took my kids to the mall don't sleep on the mall in Arcadia or whatever.
Okay.
And there's a Sabaro.
Yeah.
There's all, like, I got
the
my
little Cinnabon.
I paid $7 for my daughter to have a mediocre piece of pizza that she barely touched.
Yes.
Not to
and
brag.
That's a whole experience. But yeah, I mean, I don't think any of mine are too out there. We definitely watch all of the Christmas movies. For me now, as an adult, I'm like deep in live action Grinch.
Okay.
I just think it's the best. I think it's who I became.
We're talking
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
You know, pointing out the consumerism.
Yeah.
Living on a pile of trash with his dog. Like, I'm seeing the parallels. I'm wearing green right now. It's all happening. But yeah, I feel like I get started December 1st. And my dog also has his own Christmas tree in the house. Like,
oh, wow.
He has a little purple one. I have my big green one.
Wow.
It's good.
That's so cute.
He loves it. He loves his little sweaters and his bows.
Oh, he's such a fancy boy. I love that.
I do remember the thing I was going to say before that's a little bit non-traditional that my family does, but maybe it's not that. My family, when I'm home, we watch murder documentaries on Christmas.
Oh.
And like we watched Making a Murderer all the way through the first Christmas I took my husband home when he was my boyfriend. And he was like, wait, we're going to keep going? Like, he could not believe it. We just watched 8 episodes, or how many, like 10 episodes of this murder. I mean, sorry to bring up a hometown hero of yours, Aaron. But like, and then like, every time we're home, we're like, oh, Robert Wan. Like, there's one about this guy named Robert Wan that's on Peacock. Like, we as a family coming together means learning about murder. Like, I'm sure if I was coming home this year, we'd be watching the new JonBenet, and we'll probably watch it separately and text each other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lordy.
So yeah, murder on Christmas. I forgot that was
amazing.
My thing.
Amazing. Well, that is eventually what happened to Jesus, whose birthday Christmas is.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
there you go.
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert. He was murdered.
We had some submissions from our listeners who are on Discord. If you want to join our Discord, which is very lively and a lot of fun, crooked.com/friends, you can join and participate in our wide-ranging conversations. I'm going to say that. Alyssa, do you want to take turns reading these?
Well, I'm going to start at the bottom because Allie at the disco, I just have to tell you, girl, you are not alone. Allie says, if you want odd, apparently this is it. My family for our Christmas Day appetizer before big dinner always has a large ring of shrimp cocktail and a crock pot of Velveeta queso. Why this combo? No idea, but it's tradition. Originally from the Midwest, if that gives any context. Allie, so do we. We have shrimp cocktail and we have Velveeta queso with Rotel. That is
what we always have.
We have fancy cheeses too, and sometimes there's caviar, but there's almost always the queso.
You guys are just gambling.
And shrimp cocktail,
I feel. Yeah. You're gambling with your stomachs.
Yeah.
It's not even a gamble. I know I'm losing.
Yeah. mean,
every time. And my dog is losing because he's sleeping in bed.
This is my favorite one on the list, and I'm going to read that one from Lady Amber. Green onions wrapped in cream cheese and deli ham. I'm from Southeast Michigan, and Lady Amber included a photo.
Whoa.
It is...
Oh, like a salami roll-up almost?
Yes.
Oh, the wheel. Okay.
Yes. Wow. I feel like it's missing a carbohydrate.
Yeah.
Like, it needs a cracker, bread. A Dorito maybe. I don't know. It needs something else.
It looks like a...
Well, if you look at the ham pinwheel, if you put it between two Doritos, I bet it's delicious.
That's true.
But that is a day after Christmas meal for me. That is not a...
That's a Depression Tuesday for my house. We're just making Dorito sandwiches.
All right, Alyssa, are there others that you want to highlight?
This, I do appreciate a slice of pie. Quote, for the past few years, one of our go-to Christmas games has been guess the potato chip flavor. We set out 5 bowls with random finds from the international grocery stores near us, and people have to guess the correct flavors.
Oh, that's fun.
That is fun.
I like that.
Yeah. I think that's fun.
Prawns. They're always prawns.
A lot of prawn flavor.
There's so much more prawn flavor overseas than I anticipated.
Yeah.
When I spent time in Asia, I was like,
They love a fishy chip.
Yeah.
I love a shrimp chip.
Yeah. They're prawn stars over there. Oh, God. Roberto's family watches Queen Latifah's Last Holiday every year.
Wow.
That seems fun.
That's great.
I like
it. It's a good one, I gotta say.
I haven't watched that one yet this year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like saving them, but now it's like close to the holiday.
It's time, actually.
But I'm like, I gotta.
It's the only way to get in the spirit, I think.
Yeah.
My kids love Home Alone. We've been watching the Home Alones.
Yeah.
I like Scrooged.
That's a good one.
I forgot about that one.
The oldies.
Oh, like old, like White Christmas?
I like White Christmas Holiday Inn.
I watched White Christmas 2 years ago because I had never seen it.
I've never.
And I'm like, isn't this a war film?
It's about PTSD.
I mean,
is there any Christmas at all?
It's at the very end.
It's the last gift of Christmas. No, Akilah, you have to wait until Colonel Waverly gets to Vermont and they come up to save the inn.
I'm not going to war. We're putting on the Grinch.
There's no war. It's sequins. It's sequins and singing.
Oh, my God.
Too much for me, you know.
I really feel like the two guys who have just like a show that they do. Like, that was just
movie.
Like in a time that was, yeah. Like
Wallace
in the 40s.
I'll think of their names.
Wallace and Gromit?
No.
The claymation ones?
The claymation British things. But no, I feel like whenever I watch a movie like that where it's like musical and it's set in a world where like there are just all of these touring musical acts that do like elaborate sets and tap dancing, like, was that like the podcasting of the 50s?
Yeah, because it was like Babes in Arms, Guys and Dolls. Like, it was always something and something, and they were always doing a show.
Yeah, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Yeah,
like, there was
true.
Yeah.
That is the plot.
It is. They, like, travel by train.
Yeah.
I don't know, the whole thing's great.
Oh, yeah. We got a show down in Florida, and then they have, like, these elaborate sets and, like, feathers and, like, men. And that was the podcast back then. Wow. Yeah. White Christmas is not. Yeah, you're right. It's not.
Wait, what's
Christmas-y.
Okay, give me another old-timey one. I don't want to just shit on your good Christmas ideas.
Another old time.
It's
A Wonderful Life. Yeah,
I actually don't watch It's a Wonderful Life. That one makes me sad.
Yeah, same, dude. All the old
Meet Me in
like,
St. Louis. Mostly my favorite Christmas movie, my absolute favorite, which is I think probably controversial. I love The Family Stone.
I love that one.
Family Stone. My mom gets so mad when we put it on. Oh, okay. We're going to watch the one where the mother dies at the end. Okay.
So it's about me.
Just saying. But the house is decorated perfect. It looks like the snow outside is real. I love, oh my God, what's his name? The dad. The coach.
Craig T. Nelson.
Craig T. Nelson. I love him. I love everything about that movie. It can't be outdone.
Wow. Okay. I haven't seen it all the way through, but thanks for spoiling
all
it.
All the way through.
I've started it like 4 times and not finished for totally disparate reasons. It's been like, oh.
I've never seen it all the way through, but I've seen the ending and I've cried.
Oh.
Even though I've just seen the, like, I wasn't invested from the beginning.
Oh, okay.
National Lampoon.
National
edition.
Lampoon
rules.
Also. Yeah.
Gotta put it out there.
I mean.
Cheviot is only tolerable.
Yes.
That is most tolerable.
I feel like there's so much in that movie I just say year round, like quotes from that movie. Like.
We started watching Home Alone. I think we started Juniper on it too early. She's 3.
Yeah.
And she's learned how to be sassy from Home Alone.
Oh, yeah. My kids are setting up booby traps.
Okay.
They're like, come in our room. And then they're just pelting us with puppies. I'm like, okay, McAllister kids, let's go.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Ugh. Did you see what they did to that house? The Home Alone house?
No, I've seen it in real life.
The Home Alone house, I used to nanny for a family like down the street from it in Winnetka.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or no, in Kenilworth. But anyway, Winnetka and Kenilworth, it's a Chicago bar.
All about that.
Anyway, so somebody bought the house several years back, totally fucking made it awful millennial gray.
Oh.
Soulless, nothing warm about the inside, and now it's back on the market for like $2.8 million or something like that.
Wow.
It's such a tragedy. It's such a just, ugh.
Gray floors actually hurt my feelings.
They yes. Why are we doing
Let's
this?
Let's get some warm tones.
Yeah. Why yeah. are we? This doesn't look good. Like
it's you, giving insane asylum.
Now I got to Google this. I got to see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But how rich were the McAllisters just traveling with 14 people to Paris?
That mom was like an oil executive.
Yeah. For sure.
She was absolutely polluting.
Child
know?
Traffickers.
Yes.
They were trafficking children.
But they're bad at it because they're losing them left and right. They're not good at their jobs.
Yeah. I've told you guys my theory that it works better as a movie if Kevin is dead. If Kevin is a ghost,
and they keep
haunting
him.
Oh,
and yeah. She's just losing her mind every Christmas, she's being like, "Where is he?"
And every Christmas, she's like, "The memory of Kevin." Oh my God, that's dark.
Yeah, Kevin. Yeah, and then because that also makes sense that like the why are the robbers so fixated on him? Like, I think that they are messengers from hell trying to take him away. And there's there's a good and evil thing.
Whoa! Okay.
I wrote a whole article about it, and every Christmas it like makes the rounds again, and people are like, "This is what it's canon. Kevin is dead. Kevin is a ghost haunting
Kevin
that.
That's a ghost.
That's why he's defending it. I have to defend.
And
it.
He sleeps on the third floor. He sleeps in the attic.
It's scary.
There's also a lot of evidence. Donald Trump can see him because he's also from hell.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. He can only be spotted by other demons like Tim Curry.
Yep, exactly. And that's why, you know, they're like, oh, this late. They try to look for the kid and everyone's like, oh, boy.
Because you're ruining another trip, Mom, with your psychosis, your grief-induced psychosis.
Exactly, Christ. Exactly.
Shit, this is like Babadook level. Damn.
All right, so another listener, Carsey M., says, so there's a stereotype that Mexican families only have pozole and tamales, and that is true for our family on Christmas Eve. We make them, although there's a huge argument with pro olives in the tamales versus no olives. In the tamales. On Christmas Day, we have the traditional Christmas ham, etc.
Hmm.
I want a tamale for Christmas.
Yeah.
I love pozole.
Mm-hmm. Can we find?
Delish.
We'll be able to find.
Easily.
Some. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there'll be somebody like who's got them.
I'm not. I mean, I'm telling you, the mom groups, they're definitely going to be giving away tamales in the mom groups.
Amazing. Amazing. All right. Do we have any more that we want to showcase?
I think those were the best.
Those were our favorites.
What's the grossest one?
The ham pinwheels.
The ham pinwheels that need Doritos.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I would eat that right now if you guys are trying to go.
I'm so hungry.
I kind of would too. I think every time, if you go to a Midwestern Christmas, there's like an array of appetizers.
It's always cream cheese.
There's always cream cheese. There's sometimes a cheese ball.
Yeah. My family was deep into that.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I love a deviled egg too.
Oh, yeah. That's every
holiday. I love a deviled egg.
If you want me to eat 8 eggs,
it's crazy.
How many eggs I can eat.
Yes.
I can eat at least 10.
You're like, well, I just had like a few pieces of deviled egg. You're like, you know what? Every 2 is 1 egg.
Yeah. That's crazy. All right. Well, happy holidays, listeners. It's been another year. So lucky to have you, even though all this stuff has been suboptimal. But before we go, Alyssa, you want to talk about Inside 2024?
You guys, we have a special preview of a recent episode of Inside 2024, a subscriber-exclusive show from Friends of the Pod. In this episode, my good pal and former White House Social Secretary, Deesha Dyer, and I take a trip down memory lane and look back at all our favorite holiday White House traditions, the good, the bad, and the tipsy. To hear the full episode and get other exclusive content, go to crooked.com/friends. Enjoy the preview.
I have a thing about the holiday parties, the congressional party.
Oh, Alyssa. Right. Right. You're right. I forgot about the congressional party.
It literally, the congressional party is part of the holiday parties. We invited everyone, right? So, and it was the most attended party, like thousands, like the house did not even hold all these people, but all of these people, the same with the press, who like gave us a hard time, wouldn't vote on shit, whatever. They would stand in line for hours with their family, with their staff, whatever. And obviously like we would have a count for the photos, like 6 people, less, whatever. And there would be congressional members who would bring their entire staff to the gate. And I'd be like, no, like we can't fit them. And they'd be like, well, you tell the president that we're going to remember this. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you know, so at the end, I was just like, just come in. Then they would like fight to get in the line. And they would be so giddy, like little children after they got their photo. And I'm like, you don't even like us. Like, what the fuck? Like, it was just like, that was like a long, we took pictures with everybody.
Sometimes, too, there are certain members who have something called iron gate privileges, which means car can come in. And so you can't really limit the people that are with them because it's like an iron gate car. So it's like they're waved in. They're allowed to come in. And you would just be like, wait, who brought what? That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the longest party ever. And we were just like, instead of like them talking, it'd be like, so-and-so, photo, so-and-so, photo. Instead of being like, oh, look at your baby. It was just like, no, photo. It was so long. It was the longest party. Longest, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Akila. Thank you, Kara.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alyssa, for being my ride or die. And listeners, thank you. It has been a long, tough year. And we're grateful to have you along the ride with us. We're going to be off next week, but we'll be back on January 9th, 2025. Happy holidays and see you next year. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. And thank you to Julia Beach, Ewa Okolade, Adia Hill, and David Tolles for production support every week.